Everybody has something to give someone else. And even dishwashers and room attendants in our organization, they have some expertise that those that are coming behind them, maybe less tenured people, do not have.
As an employer, your business depends on your staff. They are the backbone of your company. But because you face unique challenges managing your team, you need to have the right resources. On this podcast, industry expert Alex Atwood tackles it all so you don't have to.
Today, we're talking to president of Donahoe Hospitality Services, Thomas Penny. Thomas's career has been shaped by his intense determination. After starting out as a dishwasher, he climbed through the ranks of the hospitality industry. Now he operates 11 hotels in partnership with Marriott, Hilton, and the Intercontinental Hotels Group. He's also a passionate community activist and serves on the boards of the DC Central Kitchen, Raise DC, Global Scholars Foundation, DC Public Education Fund, just to name a few. It's great to see you, Thomas.
Likewise, Alex, it's been too long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am inspired. I did some research before this interview, and I am so inspired by your background. So I'd love to just jump right in.
Well, one of the beauties of being in our business is that it's a low floor, high ceiling industry. And obviously, I've been able to take advantage of being able to enter at a low level and learn from those around me and obviously grow into my present role.
Absolutely. Let's get into that. So you grew up in the DC area in a dangerous time and in a place, Seat Pleasant, that was one of the epicenters of crime. And I remember that back in the 80s and 90s, how things were. How did you avoid the pitfalls that others might have went through?
So I was fortunate to have a father who was a disciplinarian, and I oftentimes say that manhood is learned behavior. And although we found ourselves in a low-income position, my father kept the grass cut, he kept the house well-maintained, and he demanded the very best from us. In the summertime, before we can go outside, we had to do a 3-page essay, and we had to read a book and write about it. And so my father had high expectations, notwithstanding our environment, and he was present in our lives. He demanded the very best from us, and he did not let where we were living at the time be an excuse for us not being the best young men that we could be.
Wow. What an inspirational figure, and what a real example of true masculinity that he gave. So how did you get your first job in the hospitality industry?
So I should say I got my first job. I forged my birth certificate. My brother and I both did. So I was 13 and he was 15, but we forged our birth certificate to say that we were 16.
You said you were 13?
I was 13.
Oh, wow. And so we're talking junior high.
I was in junior high and I forged my birth certificate to get a job at Roy Rogers.
Oh,
and
wow.
So needless to say, I think I told more lies that first year in the business because everybody around me was much older and I was in middle school, but I had to act like I was in high school. So I was quite creative in my stories to suggest that I was a few grades ahead of where I actually was.
So was that something that your father asked you to do or did you just
Not at all. So I remember I was probably about maybe 8 years old. I came to my father and I said, I wanted to get some tennis shoes. And so he said, I'll be right back. He got in the car and came back about 10 minutes later. And what I didn't know is that he put 50 cents in the gas can and pointed me in the direction of the lawnmower and said, if I wanted some tennis shoes to go earn it. And I think that was the kind of father he was. And so while he didn't tell us to forge our birth certificates, it was evident in our house, if we wanted something, we had to work for it. And so my brother and I, one summer, we just decided that this was something we were going to do so that we can make our own money and we can buy our own tennis shoes. And needless to say, at 13 years old, when you get your first paycheck, it probably was about 90 bucks, but it was a lot of money. I was making $3.85 an hour. It was a lot of money. And for the first time in my life, I felt as if I was a man, that I could buy my own stuff. And I think the earlier we can get young people connected to that feeling, the better they will be for it.
I agree 100%. It sounds like when there's a lack of resources, there's never a lack of resourcefulness. And by what you and your brother did, even though you were possibly lacking the resources, you were as resourceful as you possibly could be. in being able to forge those birth certificates. That's really, that's a heck of a story, Thomas. So when did you discover that this was the industry that you wanted to devote your career to? Was it at Roy Rogers?
So it wasn't. There's a story, and this was kind of a defining story for my life. My first year in the business, I was 17 years old. I got a job washing dishes at a hotel, making $4.25 an hour. I graduated high school. I started my first semester of community college, and I was turning 18, and my only brother, 2 years my senior, said he wanted to take me out to celebrate me graduating high school and starting community college and also turning 18. So he took me out that night. We was having a great time. And, you know, me graduating high school was a big deal because we were knuckleheads. My ninth grade year, his 11th grade year, we got suspended for a month. My 10th grade year, his 12th grade year, he actually was put out of school and I was suspended for an entire quarter. And both of these occasions, we were in group fights. And so graduating high school was a big deal because he had to transition to Job Corps. He couldn't finish school. So to make a long story short, I had to work at the hotel the next morning, so could not stay too long. So I left the event that he was having for me roughly about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at the door. And lo and behold, there were two state police officers coming to tell us that he had just been killed in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
Only brother, 2 years my senior. We slept in the same room, you know, all these years. He was 20 at the time. And so a few days after we received the notice, my father came to me. He said, son, I need you to deliver remarks at your brother's funeral. He said, you knew him best. I don't want to pay a pastor to tell lies about him. I need you to do it. I was 18 years old and never spoken publicly before in my life. And as I found myself walking up to the front of the funeral home, all I could do is kneel down next to his gray casket and say everything I do going forward was to make him proud. And I challenged everybody who was there at the time to go back and get their education, take care of their families, to basically be better human beings and do it as a part of my brother's legacy. So 2 weeks later, I go back to the hotel. And over the next 18 months, I went from washing dishes to driving the hotel van to working as a cashier in a restaurant to supervisor to manager to food and beverage director. So I was 19 and a half years old, second highest position at my first hotel. I was running a nightclub inside the hotel when I couldn't consume alcohol myself. The executive chef that hired me 2 years earlier was now reporting to me. I stayed there for another 18 months. And then at the age of 21 to come and take a position at a hotel owned by Donahoe. I took a position as a food and beverage manager. And over the course of 21 years, probably about 12 different roles, worked my way up in the organization. March of 2017, we decided we were selling a hotel that I was the general manager of, the Courtyard Marriott 9th and F. The Donahoe folks assured me that there would be a place for me. But in essence, I thought that I was going to consider other opportunities, took a look at some other opportunities. Someone was hiring me away. And as I was going in to give my resignation, the Donahoe folks said, you know, hold fast. I'd like to talk to you. We think you're the future of the company. In June of 2017, I transitioned to be the president of the hotel company. And, you know, obviously, I've had the benefit of working for two extraordinary organizations. This business is a special business in that, one, you're able to travel the world without leaving the workplace. You're able to work with people from all over the world, an experience that folks growing up in an urban environment don't get. Secondly, you're exposed to multiple verticals. Obviously, accounting and finance, human resources, operations. You're just exposed to food and beverage. You're exposed to multiple verticals. And we have some amazing people in this business. And to the extent that folks work hard and they're receptive to their team members and guests, you know, there's an extraordinary future to be had in this business.
Absolutely. Well, first, what was your brother's name?
Derek Penny. My only son bears his name today.
Ah, wow. Well, that is an extremely powerful and heartfelt story. And what I heard from it was that, and I've heard this before in other interviews and other conversations I've had, is that I guess there's a misnomer out there that, you know, over a long period of time, change starts to come, you know, over periods, years. But really, what you just showed me in that conversation is what I hear a lot about is that immediately there was a moment when suddenly you realized how precious life is. And you realized exactly, you were just galvanized to get it done. And from that moment on, when you were washing dishes in that hotel, you might as well have been the food and beverage director, because you had one singular focus from that point on, which is achieving. And I've heard that in both large and small instances when people make big changes. You see that when people stop smoking, a lot of the times you think it's a long-term, you know, you're going to stop smoking over a period of time slowly. But really what happens is in 1 minute, suddenly you realize that's not what you want to do anymore. And for you, in such a powerful way, you realized that life was too precious. Your brother was there for you. Your dad was there for you. You're on a mission. That is just truly inspirational, Thomas. So thank you for that.
Yeah. So, you know, I still feel every day as I'm riding into the office, what can I do to make him proud? You know, notwithstanding the pandemic having crippled our business over the last 15 months, we were fortunate to add 6 hotels through the pandemic. So we're now up to 16 hotels. We have several others in the pipeline. And again, I think the quote that many reference that says, you know, adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. That is indeed the truth. And even in this moment in time and where the industry finds itself, there are some folks that are leaning into this moment, taking advantage of the opportunities that it presents, and other folks are overwhelmed by it. Mm-hmm. I think folks who grew up in environments similar to mine have some unique skills and talents that can be brought to bear when there's chaos and uncertainty. When you grow up in a low-income environment, there's a lot of chaos and uncertainty. So you're accustomed to functioning in that environment. You know, we have some unique attributes, you know, those of us who have grown up in struggle and hardship. And as the president of this division, I get up 4:30 every morning. I'm in the office right around 6:10. I'm the first one to cut the lights on in the office. And I still believe that there's a strong hunger and desire to make certain that folks who may be dishwashers today, that they have the opportunity to grow within the organization similar to what I've been able to benefit from. And every day, my focus is on creating opportunities for others to excel and to hopefully leave the organization better than I found it.
Wow. They say the steel of a man is tempered through the fires of adversity. That was something I heard years ago, and it still sticks with me. So what are some of the challenges that you found like motivating the team during the pandemic, specifically around people? Because I can see just based on your background and based on who you are, you're very focused on building teams, communities, getting connected. So where did you find challenges in being able to motivate team members while things were going down south?
So a few things. One, folks in the hotel business have never had to think about their health or their well-being when they came to work. And so at the height of the pandemic, room attendants and front desk associates were having to think about their health every day when they were coming into work. And when you're thinking about whether you're going to live or die or whether you're going to come down with the virus, it's hard to be your best self at work when you're thinking about these other things. And so getting them to stay focused on the business at a time when they're concerned about themselves and their families was really, really difficult. In addition to that, the George Floyd situation and what happened around with it and subsequent situations also created some unique challenges, because at a time when industry and our business was fighting for its existence, I had some team members that felt maybe the country was not hospitable to them. And maybe some in the country didn't value them or didn't even want them to exist. And how do you, again, motivate and keep folks focused when they're worried about their health and they're worried about whether they're valued in society? And so these two situations created, I would say, probably some of the most challenging times that leaders in our business have ever been confronted with. And so we did a lot of communicating, and we did as much listening and counseling as we did, you know, trying to drive results in the business. And so it definitely required some unique talents to be able to be perceptive and seeing when folks were struggling personally and offering exactly what they needed in a moment to transfer confidence and allow for them to refocus their energy and efforts around the business.
Right. Well, one thing that you're known for is high employee satisfaction. People really like working for you. And I think a lot of that is just in this conversation, you're clearly someone who gets into the world of all of the people that you work with, no matter what, regardless of what position they're in or when they started. Question I have is, how do you define leadership? Like, if somebody's coming to you maybe in the position that you were in when you first started in the hotel business as a dishwasher, and perhaps they don't see themselves as a leader right now because they're so far down on the rung in terms of, you know, leadership or management. How would you define leadership to someone like that?
I would say everybody has something to give someone else. And even, you know, dishwashers and room attendants in our organization, they have some expertise that those that are coming behind them, maybe less tenured people, do not have. And them imparting their experiences with their, you know, folks that have less tenure is them showing some leadership. Them letting their, you know, department supervisors and managers know when there are things that are working counter to the interest of the business, that's leadership. And so everybody's in a position to show leadership. And just because you're in charge doesn't mean that you're the leader of a division, of an organization. As the saying goes, if you turn around and no one is following behind you, then you're just leading yourself. So, well, and so, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I just think that leadership is also about being willing to listen and learn. And, you know, for example, when I was 21 years old and I joined Donahoe, I'd already had 4 years of experience in the business. There was a hostess, I remember when I came to apply for a position with Donahoe, who had been at the hotel for 25 years. And mind you, I'm just coming to apply for a job. I told her I was coming to apply. She sat me down in the restaurant, brought me a cup of tea, and spent 30 minutes telling me everything about everybody in the hotel. And granted, she was imparting information that I could not have paid for. And so, you know, she was a leader of the restaurant. She might have been a hostess, but she was a leader of the restaurant. And her leadership came through, especially for me as a 21-year-old person. She was probably 65 at the time. And so, again, you know, leadership is not about position. It's about a sense of responsibility and a sense of compassion for others.
That's right. There's a being in leadership. You're not necessarily granted the position of leader necessarily. You might be, but that doesn't mean you're taking on the qualities of leadership. There's a certain sense of being a leader, right? That is just necessary. It's not attached to a particular role or position or anything like that. And yeah, that's brilliant. The way that you put that is brilliant. And I found myself, especially in all the years I've been working in the hospitality industry with the hourly workers, many of them dishwashers, many of them coming through programs like the culinary training program for DC Central Kitchen, I found some of the most interesting, intelligent, just dynamic people coming through that program. And a lot of the times they just did not have just the access to some insight. And so if you give them access, you know, again, a lot of the time people just clicks and they get it, you know, and it could be something as simple as, you know, defining integrity as something outside of good or bad. Integrity is just being your word. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And there's a foundation there that once you're your word, everything else comes on top of that. And sometimes people don't understand that. They're hard workers, they're caring people, but they've never been given access to understanding how important things like that are. And so I found that you're absolutely right. You know, leadership is found in almost every position, in every area, in every community, in every walk of life.
I would just add that the hotel business is almost like the UN.
The UN?
I mean, at one of our hotels, we have folks from 35 different countries.
Yeah, that's true.
And there is a unique perspective to be had when most of the folks in the building don't have your experience. Those of us who are open are able to develop a greater appreciation for humanity in general as a result of just being in such a diverse environment. And so, you know, again, I think as we all get to be the winter part of our professional careers, it will not be the money that we've been able to make for the organization that we will reflect upon. It's the people that we have been able to inspire and help them to maybe reach a bit higher. Those will be the things that will be most meaningful when we find ourselves towards the tail end of our careers.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Did you ever think that when you were stepping into that dishwashing job for the first time, or I should say when you were stepping into your first position at Donahoe, and someone told you you were going to be the president of this company, What would you have told them at that point of your life?
I would say you're crazy. And I would say when I started at Donahoe, I didn't even know there was a president.
Right.
You know, the highest position that I was able to see on a day-to-day basis was the general manager of one hotel. And so to me, he was the president. And so I thought that that job was too far-fetched when I joined Donahoe. And granted, I knew that I was going to work hard and I knew that I was going to grow with the organization. At the time, and this is still the case, there's not as much diversity at the GM level. And so it was an elusive goal because the hotel that I had come from, the GM was a white male, and the GM of the hotel that I had just joined was a white male. The good news is in both cases, there were two extraordinary guys who did everything they could to be receptive to who I was as a person of color. But because I had not seen a person of color in that position, I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, absolutely not.
Absolutely. Wow. That's remarkable. What do you know now that you wish you would have known that?
So what I would say is, one, the finance part of the business and the ownership part of the business. I think folks in hotels, they think that the pinnacle is to be a general manager. And there's a whole different continuum. There's a whole different world that exists outside of hotels that I had absolutely no clue about. I would have loved to have been made aware of those opportunities when I was in my 20s. Instead of chasing opportunities in hotels, I would have probably pivoted to some type of home office opportunity much earlier. So just the ownership and the finance part of the business, I did not become familiar with it until I became a general manager.
Mm-hmm. As is probably the case for most starting out in the hospitality industry. I mean, that's almost behind a black curtain, right? I mean, you just can't see what's behind there.
Yeah.
Awesome. This was an excellent interview. Usually what I do is at the end of the interview, there's a card deck I use. It's called What's Your Word? Here, I can show you there. It's probably backwards, but so I'm going to ask a question and it's completely random. And the question on this is, what do you dream of achieving one day?
I would say, at some point, I am going to, separate and apart from here in my position at Donahoe, I'm going to make some investments outside of here in the commercial space. And that will be the legacy of which my kids will be able to launch from. So that's something that I'll do at some point. And it helps that my wife's a commercial real estate broker. So, you know, but at some point, that's what we'll do.
If I would have had the money and resources back in the mid-90s around the Verizon Center, if I would have made some investments there, or in the 203 section of Southeast where the National Stadium is, I remember I'd be extremely, I'd have a legacy, let's put it that way.
As a matter of fact, we might have the portfolio of Doug Jamal if we had done that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk about that. Yeah, he used to have the electronics music store in DC that I used to go to when I was a kid. Yep. I don't remember the name of it now, but The Wiz.
Yeah.
How do you like that? I just pulled that out of nowhere. All right. Well, Thomas, thank you so much for your time. This is I'm telling you, this is such an inspiring story. It really, you're a heart-led leader. You're a conscious leader. You take care of, you know, everybody in your ecosystem. So for that, I want to honor you. Thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward to continuing to work with you. And the Washington, D.C. business community is extremely lucky to have a leader like you as a part of it. So thanks again for your time today.
Good to have a chance to catch up with you. And
yeah.
Let's make it a point to break bread at some point soon.
We've been making that promise for a while. We'll make it happen.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Off the Clock. Don't miss next week's tips around innovation and HR. Subscribe to the show. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.